Georgia Supreme Court Leo Frank Appeals Documents 1913-1914, page 759 slide. Visible translated text is as follows. Said, "Well, is that what you want for good, Mr. Frank?" And he said, "Uriah and I saw him be one I wrote on was, and take out a brownish-looking scratch pad, the one I wrote on was." And he said, "I saw him take out a brownish-looking. I took his pencil and made a marker it. I took it to be a no, but he shut the tablet up and looked at me and told me that was all he wanted me. And he come all the way to the top of the steps, and he come three or four steps down to where I could see me until I hit the sidewalk. It seemed as if he was trying to see if I would take anything as I went out, but there was nothing to take unless I took a great big box. But when I passed those two doors on the steps there, a Frank told me to leave one of them open, and I left the inside one open, and I pushed the trap door to keep it from smutting. When we come out, I was very dry, and I pulled the front doors to when I went out, and I went to the beer saloon across the street and ordered a cigarette box, and it had two paper dollars in there and two silver quarters, and I laughed and said, 'Good luck has done struck me,' and I bought a 10-cent doubleheader, and then went back to Peter Saint, and ha'n't none of the boys got there that I run with, and I walks up there to the moving picture show and look at the pictures, and they didn't seem to be any good. And I come down Peter Saint looking for that boy I owed. I got to the corner of Forsyth and couldn't find him, and I struck the sidewalk half-pint whiskey from, but I went to Joe 2:30, and I took the smoke and went as far as Joe's at Leangum and Magnolia Saint, and got 15 cents worth of beer in it, and come back home and sent the little girl to get a dime's worth of stove wood and a nickel's worth of pan sausage, and I eat half. The other little change I kept it, and I laid down across the bed, and there is where I stayed until about 1:30 little while, and got up and set in front of the fire a little while, and then swimming any the head, and then here comes Mitchell Sate, and I come on back home. I was striking, feeling bad, and I laid down across the bed and stayed there until 6:00 or 6:30 that night, and I waked up to my mother's at 92 Tatnall Street, and they give me a lunch there, and I brought it on back home, and I stood there and eat it up and stayed at home until 10 minutes to Mitchell next morning, and when I got to the door for 21 by and running on the factory, and it was 10 minutes after I got a clock, the clock have been a little fast, and when I got there, I went upstairs to the dressing room, and in comes Gordon Bailey, and he comes Joe Williams, and then Mr. Wade Campbell, the lead inspector, and he comes in there and says, 'Wasn't it bad about that girl being killed?' And we asked him, 'Which girl?' And it seemed like he said, 'Mary Puckett.' And we asked him whereabouts, and he said, 'In the basement.' We asked him if it was a white or colored girl, and he said it was a white girl. He said he had him in the basement, and then he got killed, and he said he behind him with the sprinkler in my hand, and then he went to the toilet, and I went right behind him, and then he got a sprinkler full of water, and I stayed down the third floor, not about 9:00, and I went and got my raw stuff from the third floor and brought it up to the fourth floor and unloaded it, and then he said I would go to the basement and see who that was that got killed, and when I got there was such a crowd of white people there I couldn't go back of there, and then the fireman sent me to get him a nickel, and the back of me a nickel, and the fireman give me a nickel to get him a bag of apples and a leaf of Roman, and he give me a drink, and the policeman told me to get on out, and I went up the stairs and stayed up there until about 15 minutes to 10, and the whistle blowed for the factory, and it was 7 hours."